There's been times when I stepped into this pulpit, I made the statement that I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut and let somebody else fill the pulpit. You could do a much better job than I can. But tonight, I have to be here. God's laid a burden on me that I've got to get it off. And I hope if I do get it off, it'll land on your shoulders and in your hearts, burning you like it has with me. I thank God for the direction this church has taken. I thank God for sending Brother Carl and Sister Gata, Brother Brian and Sister Louise to this church. I thank God for the direction He has given our pastor and his preaching and our Wednesday night services. When I step into this church, I feel alive. I've been in several churches here lately. God has been using me in different places. And it's not like here. I just want to follow the Lord. I have no idea which way I'm going. I know what I would like to do, but I'm tired of doing what I like to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to have three different sets of scriptures that I want us to turn to. We will wind up in Mark chapter number 10. But before we get there and settle down, go with me to Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20, and then we will be in Luke chapter 18. First of all, Matthew chapter number 20, I want to begin reading in verse number 29. Matthew 20, verse number 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will you that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Luke chapter number 18. I want to begin reading in verse number 35. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, "So much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What will thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thy Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, said unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Heavenly Father, I ask you to please allow the Holy Spirit take complete control of me. Lord, help me just step aside. May the Holy Spirit use my lips to speak. Use my heart, Lord, to touch these people here tonight. Lord, you have laid this upon me. And Lord, I feel like I have never felt before in my entire life. I feel the very presence of God. And I ask you, Lord, to use me here tonight for your glory and for the help of these dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. I call your attention to verse 49 of Mark chapter number 10, where this statement is made, and Jesus stood still. I want to take that, and I want to speak to you forever how long the Lord will use me here tonight on this thought, the cry that stopped Jesus in his tracks. In order for us to fully get a hold of what's happening here in these final verses of Mark chapter number 10, let's look at the two main characters that are involved here. There are many others. There's a great multitude of people. They're the disciples of the Lord, all them fellow travelers, and they'll come into play as this story unfolds. But first of all, let's just focus on Jesus and Bartimaeus. Jesus was doing what he came into this world to do. He was on his way to the cross. Accompanying him was not only his disciples, but verse 46 tells us there was a multitude of people traveling along with him that day. Quite a crowd. Jesus no doubt had a lot on his mind as he was on his way up to Jerusalem. This is his final week here on this earth. He had traveled all the way down from Galilee, from Capernaum, crossed over the Jordan River, and had come down to the area known as Perea. And it is here that he recrosses the Jordan and begins his journey of a few miles to Jericho, where he will then travel up to Jerusalem, which entails around 15 miles uphill with an elevation change of over 3,000 feet. He has been hounded by the Pharisees. He has constantly ministered to those that were in need. He had to deal with petty disputes among his disciples. And all the while, the scriptures tell us that he has set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He full well knew what lay ahead of him in Jerusalem. There was a lot on his mind. There was a great weight on his shoulders. There's a mighty burden upon his heart. He's surrounded by a noisy crowd that no doubt is constantly questioning him and seeking something from him. In other words, his hands are full. His heart is full. His time is full. His ears are full with the noise of the crowd. But all of a sudden, Jesus is stopped in his tracks. Jesus came to a halt so sudden, I believe, that those traveling behind him bumped into him. What caused that? What got his attention over all the clamor of that multitude of people? It was a cry of Bartimaeus. That's what brought him to a standstill. Now, Bartimaeus, if there's anyone here lost, he's a perfect picture of those who do not know him, who are in darkness, who are in blindness. And if you're ever to come to the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will have to come the same way Bartimaeus came. Those of you who are saved, you are saved because you came basically the same way Bartimaeus had to come. To the multitude, Bartimaeus was just a dirty, blind beggar sitting in the dust beside the road on the way to Jericho. He was just another beggar who had to be ignored. He was dirty and no doubt smelly. Many thought he was probably blind because of some sin in his life or in the life of his parents. But to just ignore him and continue on the journey is what they had their mind on. But this beggar would not be ignored. He cried out repeatedly for attention. And Jesus heard his cries. What was it that stopped Jesus in his tracks?
What was it about this cry that got through to Jesus over the clamor of the crowd? What was it that arrested Jesus' march up to Calvary? To be truthful, I believe that there was really only one real reason that got Jesus' attention. But I will hold off until later to divulge what I think was really what got Jesus' attention. First, let's look at some of the cries that we might think and probably had some influence that got a hold of Jesus. First of all, look in verse number 46 and verse 47. The Bible says that they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Lord Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus was doing what he had been doing every day of his blind life, begging, pleading, and hoping to get just enough to get him through one more day. This was just another day for Bartimaeus, a day like yesterday, a day like last week, a day like last month. Here is a man with very little hope in his life. Bartimaeus had three strikes against him, and he had never even gotten to the plate. He was already out of the game before he even picked up his bat. Strike one, he was blind physically and spiritually. Strike two, he was a beggar. He had absolutely nothing to help his cause. He was unable as well as incapable of bettering himself. And strike number three, the Bible says he was the son of Timaeus. And that word Timaeus means, as far as I can tell in my studies, means defiled, means polluted. It means unclean. When he came into this world, blind or not, he was a sinner. And whoever was in this room here tonight, when you came into this world, you came into this world as a sinner. And you will remain a sinner until God does something to your life. But this day became a day like no other day in the miserable life of Bartimaeus. He may have had three strikes against him, but he had something very important going for him. He had his hearing. Verse number 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth," he heard. "And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Bartimaeus had heard. He had heard of this man who had healed the sick. He had heard of this man that had cleansed the lepers. He had heard of this man that had restored sound to the deaf, raised the dead, and even gave sight to the blind. He was no doubt familiar with the prophecies of Isaiah in chapter 29 and verse 18 and 19, and in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 4 and 5, which stated, "Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened." You see, the crowd saw Jesus just as Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus, even with his blinded eyes, saw some things that even his disciples had not seen. Bartimaeus saw him as the son of David, saw him as the Messiah, saw him as his only hope. And we will never be saved until we see Jesus for who he really is. Now here was this man, this very man that had done all of these miracles that he had heard about, he was passing right by in front of him. He was blind. And here was the one who was restoring eyesight to those who could not see. I'm sure Bartimaeus' blinded eyes was wide open. I'm sure his feeble hands and knees were trembling. I'm sure his heart was beating 90 miles an hour.
Here was the answer to his desire. There is no wonder he began to cry out repeatedly, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus' cry was surely a cry for desire. But notice also in verse 47 and verse 48, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" May have been a cry of desire, but it was also a cry of desperation. In Matthew and Mark, we are told that Jesus and the multitude were passing by. We are not told in the Scriptures that Jesus had ever visited Jericho before, but more than likely he had in his travels. But we do know that he would never travel through Jericho ever again. It was now or never for Barnabas. And in desperation, he began to cry out to the only one that he knew could meet his need. Somehow, he sensed that this was the only chance for him to ever be able to see. He desperately wanted to get the attention of the Son of David, the Messiah. It's still the same today. God must get the sinner in a condition that he knows that there is no hope for him, that he knows he can do nothing to help himself, that he knows that no one else can do anything for him. He must come to the place where he realizes that his only hope lies in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. God must get the sinner desperate. He must be brought so low that he can't do nothing else but look to God to get him out of that miry pit. Several years ago, I was laid in the hospital in LaGrange, Georgia. I had undergone a series of light strokes, they said. And all I could do was lay there and look up. And it was at that time that God came to me and showed me that he could take care of me. I mean, brothers and sisters, I was out of a job. And out of a job, out of money, praise God, we never went hungry. Our bills were paid. If we depend on God, put our trust in God, place our faith in God, he'll take care of us. But here he was, just an old, dirty, smelly beggar sitting in the dirt on the side of the road begging for alms. He was blind. He couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus was surrounded by a multitude of people and probably couldn't even see Bartimaeus sitting there on the side of the road. How was Bartimaeus going to plead with Jesus with all the noise and the commotion that was going on? He did the only thing he could do. He cried out for mercy. Are you desperate enough to lay aside all of your dignity and cry out to God to help you while he's near? If he is, now is the time to respond. As it was with Bartimaeus, this may be the last time you ever hear from God. Oh, may your plea be, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Bartimaeus' cry was one of desire. It was one of desperation. Verse 47 and verse 48 once again. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Cry of desire. A cry of desperation. But it was also a cry of determination. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Notice in verse 48 that many charged him that he should hold his peace. Here he was in desperate need of getting in touch with Jesus, and the crowd was telling him to shut up, to be quiet, don't disturb Jesus.
They surely thought this beggar was just trying to get a handout, just trying to get a few coins to help him through the day. But money was the last thing on Bartimaeus' mind that day. He wanted healing, and he was going to do everything he possibly could to get the attention of the great physician. Well, isn't it amazing when God begins to convict a sinner? It's a dangerous place to get between him and the Lord. He'll run all over you. But it's amazing how little it takes to discourage people from getting in touch with God. How little it takes to keep us from telling people that their only hope lies in Christ. But Bartimaeus didn't discourage easily. He was determined to get through to Jesus one way or the other. Notice in verse number 47, his first cry. He began to cry out. In the Greek, that word means to shout or cry aloud. He was shouting aloud, trying to get over the noise of the crowd. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. But it didn't seem to be working. The noise was too great. The people were telling him to shut up. So what does Bartimaeus do? He just steps it up a notch. Notice it says in that second cry, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. And in the Greek, that second cry carries the idea of a shriek or a scream. His first cry was loud. It didn't get the job done. But the second cry, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Mixed into that cry was all the desperation and the determination this poor beggar could muster. And he got through to Jesus. Oh, how desperate are you to get in touch with God? How desperate are we to get in touch with God over our loved ones who are lost? We need to get desperate, folks. A cry of desire. A cry of desperation. A cry of determination. And all of these led to a cry that was detected. Notice there in verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine God coming to a complete... He's on His way to Calvary. He knows what's going to take place within the next week. He has set His face like a flint to go there. He came to do God's will, and His will was to go to that cross. But here, a cry of a blind beggar arrested his travel. The Lord, He says in Psalm 145 in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. A cry of desire, a cry of desperation, a cry of determination, which led to a cry that was detected. And now we look at a cry for deliverance. Verse 47 and verse 48 once again. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now look in verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus is testing Bartimaeus here as to what he really wanted out of him. Notice back in verse number 36 of this chapter 10, where the Bible says he's talking to John and James, who made this request of the Lord. And James, verse 35, it says, and James and John, the son of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us
whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto him the same question he asked Barnabas. What would ye that I should do for you? Jesus asked him the same question. The answer was one of self-seeking. Their answer was one of self-seeking. Grant unto us that we may see it, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy glory. Jesus had already told the 12 that they would sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But they, like us, want it, and they want it now. Bartimaeus only wanted what he needed in his life. Verse 51 says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What Bartimaeus wanted was what he needed. He asked for the right thing. He asked for mercy. He asked the right one. Verse 47 and 48 said he asked the Lord. He asked at the right time. He asked while Jesus was near. What he needed was what he got. And what he got was more than he expected. Here was a blind beggar sitting in the dirt, begging for just a few coins. But he winds up with more than he bargained for. I'm going to cut some of it short. It was a cry of desire, one of desperation, one of determination, one that led to detection, a cry for deliverance. But it also was a cry that led to devotion. Look in verse number 52. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now if you compare verse number 21, where Jesus tells the rich young ruler, he also tells him, like he told Bartimaeus, Go thy way. And the young ruler went back to his riches. But notice Bartimaeus. He says, Go thy way. And what did Bartimaeus do? He followed Jesus. And Jesus didn't even tell Bartimaeus to follow him. When God does a work on you, you're going to do everything you can to follow the Lord. Luke 18, verse 43 tells us, And immediately he, Bartimaeus, received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen. Immediately. It didn't take weeks and months. Immediately, Bartimaeus aligned himself with him who had met his desire. Bartimaeus did not take off and run down through the old city that he had lived in. He didn't go back to his old life if he even had an old life. Bartimaeus immediately followed Jesus in the way. The Bible tells us at the beginning of this, he was sitting by the way, sitting in the dirt, but now he is walking in the way following Jesus. And I don't think for a minute, Brother Barney, that Bartimaeus was in the back of the crowd. I think he was just as close to Jesus as he possibly could get. Shouldn't that be with us? Shouldn't we always want to be as close to Jesus as we can possibly be? We as close to Him as we want to be. Those who have truly been regenerated have a desire to stay as close to Jesus as they possibly can. They want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. I remember back yonder, Brother Brian, when I was driving. I was out on the road somewhere up north. It probably was in Ohio. I was going up the interstate, going up toward Cleveland, I think it was. And a truck coming southbound, a tanker truck. Big letters on the side of the tanker, Grace. I guess that was the name of the company, I don't know. But it crossed my mind, I wish I could climb up under that truck, lay down up under it, open up that spout, let all that grace pour out over me. And I think that's exactly what happened to Bartimaeus that day. And now, we are one step closer to the main reason Jesus stopped in his tracks. Encapsulated in all of these cries of Bartimaeus was a lot of things. But the one that really caused Jesus to stand still was that cry of Bartimaeus that was a cry of dependence, a cry of faith. Bartimaeus had heard
that Jesus was raising the dead. He was healing the sick. He was healing the lepers, the lame, the deaf, even the blind. Bartimaeus heard. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Bartimaeus believed that this Jesus was not just Jesus of Nazareth. He believed that this Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus, the Son of David. Brother Tommy, Bartimaeus believed. Do we believe? Do we really believe? Bartimaeus trusted that this Jesus could do what he came into the world to do. Bartimaeus placed his faith in the hands of Jesus. Faith is a channel through which the grace and the mercy of God flow to the sinner. Faith is the key that unlocks it all. Luke 18:42 says, "Thy faith has saved thee." In Mark chapter 5 and verse 34, speaking to the lady with the issue of blood, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It was by faith that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He was the Son of David. It was by faith that Bartimaeus came to Jesus pleading, "Have mercy on me." It was by faith that Bartimaeus submitted to Jesus. Notice he says, "Lord." He knew who he was. And he submitted himself. He submitted his condition unto him that could meet that condition. And it was by faith that Bartimaeus could tell Jesus what he wanted, "That I might receive my sight." We need to quit playing around. And when we go to Jesus, we need to tell him exactly the truth. Tell him exactly what it is we need. Now comes the real reason I believe. Jesus stood still at the cry of Bartimaeus that day, Brother Tommy. Look back in verse 45. I struggled with this for months, trying to get this to come together. And I couldn't do it. But I don't know if you caught it. But as I read Matthew's account and Luke's account and Mark's account, did you notice how they started out? Every one of them started out, Brother Tommy, with the word "and." The story goes on. Brother Brian is connecting the dots. I was having trouble connecting the dots. What does 45 have to do with it? "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Who are the many? Who are the many? Turn with me, if you will. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Look at verse number 2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse number 6. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse number 9, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse number 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Verse number 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And then in verse number 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Who are the many? In other words, they're the sheep. They're the ones whom God has given to the Son. How did Jesus hear the cry of Bartimaeus over all that noise that day? How did he hear the cry of Bartimaeus, even though his face was set like a flint to go to Calvary? It's because he heard, Bartimaeus was one of his sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Jesus stopped in his tracks that day because Bartimaeus was one of his sheep. You see, Bartimaeus may have been blind. Bartimaeus may have been a beggar. But Brother Tommy, Bartimaeus had never been a goat. Nothing gets the attention of the Lord any quicker than someone that just takes their hands off of everything and just turns it all over to God. You want to see God's head swell? Just believe Him. Just trust Him. Just allow Him to control your life. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus stopped in His tracks because He heard the cry of one of His own. How about us tonight? Are we crying out loud enough to get the Lord's attention? Now this may sound a little strange. I know the Bible tells us that Bartimaeus cried out loud. But we got to remember that Bartimaeus was one of his sheep. And I believe if Bartimaeus had even said, "Jesus, thy son David, have mercy on me," he would have heard him because he was one of his sheep. It matters not how our personality is. It matters not whether we scream and shout. It matters not whether we speak with a small voice. If we have a desire, if we are desperate, if we are determined, God will hear us, folks. Let's get desperate. Brother Tommy, I think that's it.